When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Heroes of the Horn and Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. Friends, welcome back. We just finished up there with episode 3. There it is. I hear it. Just yeah. I let the party continue. I hear like we're cracking open some drinks. We're drinking. We're eating. I feel like we're sitting in there with the Tinkers right now.
I was gonna be here earlier, but I had to make myself a Tawathawan wrap supreme. I mean, as serious question. Did they stop there and get like a number 7 at Taco Bell, right?
Buddy, I went to Croatia. I looked up Taco Bell in Croatia to see if that was a thing. Egwene was totally eating a number 7. I love it. It's really cool.
Well, I made mine. I had a bite. It was great. I'll finish it afterwards. Actually, it's really crappy. I made a really crappy quesadilla. I don't know. I got like pepperoni and lunch meat in there. I don't know. I just wanted to make it show because I thought it'd be funny.
It's funny.
But episode 3, wow, Ez. I love this show.
I love this show.
I love it. That's all I can say, really.
They're doing a good job. So out the gate here,
Start at the beginning.
Nynaeve. Let's go. Yeah.
Okay, so we left Nynaeve, and okay, she caught back up with the group, whatever. Now we're back, and Nynaeve's caught up with Lan and Moraine, who've been separated from Matt and Rand and Egwene and Perrin. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're splitting off, we're going in 3 different directions. Now we're kind of back to where we were in the books. Like, Nynaeve does catch up with them. A few differences, though. They do not have coins. Right. In the books, yep. Moraine gives them coins so she can end up sort of tracking them. But everything feels so good so far. Now, I liked when they showed, and this was a subtle thing, when they showed how Nynaeve escaped the Trolloc, mm-hmm. how she killed it. And then you see the blood mm-hmm. in the pool and it sort of forms, which like it's like a yin yang symbol, right? Mm-hmm.
Dragon's Fang.
The dragon, right? The Aes Sedai symbol, which is cool. Yeah. The power one power, right? That duality. The think of like a yin yang symbol, right? So that was cool. That was super super cool. Then we start to bounce back and forth a little bit between Egwene and Perrin, who are running away from the wolves. Mm-hmm. Egwene uses the power.
Yeah.
To get that fire going, which is cool. God, man. Keep it rolling, Perrin.
When she
has that nightmare. And, dude, that nightmare scene.
Sick.
Where you can see Balzamon. I'm guessing that's Balzamon. That's my guess. Oh,
yeah.
In the background, the way they're doing it.
It's so sweet.
Scary. It's so good.
Still has the eyes that are burning, especially when he zoomed in there and everything. And for him to go back, be tormented. It's also an element of sort of what happens in this dream is also real. Remember when Rand found all the bats in episode 2? So there's little tie-ins like that that are making it more realistic, it relates to the book. It's a good tie-in. Buddy, when Egwene like presses her like cell, you know, she like wraps her arms around Perrin and he's crying. My God.
God. Yeah.
I already loved Perrin. I always have, and I always felt I had a tender spot for him just because of all the stuff that goes, and they are knocking that out of the park. I mean, people are going to be caring so much about it. Matt, it's not his fault.
It's not.
And it's such a horrible, think how you would feel, man. I am like,
it's really good. It might be one of my favorite things so far until, okay.
Come on.
We met my second favorite character. Cause I'd say that Matt is my most favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sort of remembering right now that I didn't like Matt very much in the early books. And yeah. I'm beginning to remember why. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't like sick Matt, right?
Right, because sick he's Matt, yeah.
Going down that route. But we did meet my second favorite character today, which mm-hmm. is Tom Marilyn, who, mm-hmm. first of all, I love the song he plays. That's going to be on YouTube, people doing covers. We're going to have to get somebody to do a version so we can use it as some intro and outro music for mm-hmm. the podcast. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much a given at this yep. point. We're going to have to, we got some buddies. We've had people submit to us stuff for our other podcast, but we're going to need something and we will use it. Give us a good version of you playing that on guitar.
Yeah.
Intro, outro music. And we'll plug you in the description. It was so good. I loved Tom Marilyn in this. Kind of a deeper, more emotional. You get to see a little bit of him. It was great. Loved it early on because we miss him. In the mm-hmm. books, Tom Marilyn is with them from the Two Rivers, goes to Shadow Logoth, and then we think he dies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then we don't see him. We don't see him again for almost like two books. I mean, you see him towards the end of the second book, right? Middle-ish to end of the second book. And now we meet him here. So now he's going to be traveling with Matt and Rand. And I really like the way they're doing it. I think his care, he is, you know, I was unfamiliar with that actor, but we'd seen the pictures of him and I was like, oh my God, he looks great. And we'd seen they had a guitar and he knows a lot. He does the Aiel thing. Which did you notice the little hint they had? So this episode had Rand's first hints at being something else.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. First it's when Tom is talking about the Aiel and he's like, you don't see this hair color outside of the waist. It's like, well, that's the same hair color as Rand.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And then we see Rand use the power. Mm-hmm. He doesn't realize it. See, that's what's cool, because that is kind of what happens in the books, is you go back and you look at events that are taking place. You don't even realize it as the reader until the end of the first book, that when you go back, you sort of go back and you're like, oh, some of these events are actually Rand, I think, as you was using the power here.
Right. Exactly. That door, he's trying to break out. He's in a situation where they're being attacked. It's the skinny innkeeper in the books and things, but... And right afterwards, you have the Dark Friend attack, which we get in this, which is really cool. So I saw her. I thought, you know, is this the girl? Is this what's happening? We're being, you know, because they have a soft spot for girls. A big thing, big theme of the book is that they won't kill women. They don't like the idea of them, being in battle. We'll talk later about Maiden of the Spear, all that kind of stuff. Matt, my question, I'm going to toss this out to some of our folks in the chat real quick too. What is the significance? Because I'm sure I'm supposed to know what it is, and I just can't think of it right now. The Aiel has the rock-like crystal.
I don't know that. That's like past where I'm at in the books.
I don't know what it is. I actually, even me, I'm two or three books ahead. And I've finished the series multiple times. I don't remember exactly what it is.
Right. So he also picks up. He also picks up a little. He picks up a little bear.
Yeah. Now that
dog.
I think I do know what that is.
I do. I think I do too, which yes. is like kind of crazy yeah. that we're finding it here. Cause that's.
Yeah. Which is cool. So that was cool to see an Aiel, to see the situation that this is the sort of thing that I think, Rafe was talking about being an Aiel that we would see later in like book three and so on. So it was cool to see that they brought that element in because they're explaining the Aiel. They're trying to make these connections to,
was it a horse? It was a horse. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the connections to the Aiel and to this other group of people and doing that world building. Actually, our dark friend even did a good job of world building, saying she wanted to go to places like Stone of Tyr Camelin.
Right. And so the interesting thing was that character was, her name was Dana. Remember, that was who we were thinking. Remember, we saw her cast and we were thinking, oh, because Tom Marilyn, it's her, I think it's spelled the way in the casting, it was D-E-N-A, but Tom has a girlfriend named Dana, D-A-N-A, mm-hmm. in the book, and she ends up dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, we were kind of thinking that that was going to be that character. Now, she was ultimately sort of tied in with Tom a little bit, and that is in the same little town. So I'm wondering if that's just sort of a nod, perhaps, to that character.
Mm-hmm.
In the books, and we probably are unlikely to see her in the show. Not incredibly important. There's a lot you can do with Tom without even really going down that sort of route. But man, let me tell you something, Ez.
Yeah.
When she pulls the sword on Rand,
mm-hmm.
and she's sort of like, I know who you are, or I know, and stuff like, and I don't know who I am, but I know who I'll become.
What'd you think?
I'm dead serious. For a second, I was actually thinking Beyond a Dark Friend.
Me too.
I'll go ahead and say it.
Scared me.
I literally thought this was Lanfear. I was like,
scared.
Are they going to go in a different route, or maybe this person will die, and then, you know, we'll keep, like, that would be a cool way to do it, to introduce a character, since we've already brought up this idea of people coming back in the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could introduce characters and have them die a couple of times without having, like, your person set for, like, the next, you know, 8 years or whatever. Like, you could bring in somebody to be like Celine/Lanfear, have her die and then come back, which would be cool. But then they're like, okay, no, she's just a dark friend. So that was really cool, really unexpected. Because again, this does not happen in the book.
No.
Not, I mean, like,
fantastic.
Like, kind most of this does.
Most of this is, like, pretty original. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's kind of a similar event in which Rand uses, like, lightning without really using, knowing, mm-hmm. like, what's going on. But it flows well, and mm-hmm. I think it gets the point across, and I think it, I think it's really good. And then we meet the Tuatha'an, which is mm-hmm. cool. They say their little thing, which is, right, like, mm-hmm. we know they say that same,
you know, the song. Books. Yeah.
So we're going to be with them for a second. Parents starting to have weird wolf stuff. And now with Rand, you're getting something weird about Rand. I think we're still into the idea, again, if you've seen this for the first time, of who is the dragon. And then the dark friend, Dana, says it's one of the five of you, mm-hmm, not mm-hmm. one of the four of you,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool considering that Nynaeve is back.
Right.
And then it ends with Loghain. So which is what we thought. So great way to end it. Mm-hmm. For this first week, I'm hooked. I'm ready for the next episode.
Oh yeah. Matt, yeah, you went through the whole thing. Yeah,
I went through the whole thing. And one last thing here, then I'll turn over to you. Okay, our buddy, we have a Facebook group with some of our listeners and stuff like that. My buddy Ryan said it, and I didn't really realize it until I looked at it. But he is 100% right. Whoever is playing, what's her name? Is it Leandrin? That's not Leandrin. Is it, who's the Red Aja?
Leandrin.
Is that legitimately who it is?
I think that's Leandrin.
Is it actually Leandrin? Okay, because I think they haven't said her name, so I didn't know. I'm trying to remember if she was cast or not.
I think she said it right at the end. I think she said Leandrin. Okay. Is the guy.
Her, once somebody said something, her forehead does not move, man. There's a lot of Botox going on there. I'm just gonna say it.
Oh my gosh!
I'm saying, just look at it, man. I was like,
I didn't notice.
Watch it.
Okay.
Just watch it. It's okay. Fine. It's whatever. But I was like, once somebody said something about it, I was like, all right, dude, they might be right. Like,
yeah. She's intense, right? I mean, that she good. I no, felt yeah, yeah, scared yeah. for Moraine, right? In that moment when Moraine is like, not scared, but you can sense something up there. That's supposed to be her sister. You're too late. You know, there's a tension right there. And I think we're going to see more of that tension between the Blue Aja and between the Red Aja. And that's cool. It'll be interesting to watch. So let me bounce back as Matt goes through some comments here. I want to touch on the thing that you said about the Dark Friend, because one, she does such a great job of bringing in Ishamael and bringing in mentioning one of the Forsaken and those who, like Matt, she believed What was good about her is, as a dark friend, it wasn't just like, oh, I have to do this. She believed they needed the dragon. She was a believer. She didn't like her life. She didn't like the way her life was woven. And so she made a choice to do something different. It reminds me of Inktar in the book. You know, I didn't see another way, so I chose this path. And the, like Rand already starting to say things that are just, he thinks he just tries to do what's right and so on. Now, your point to Lanfear. Let me tell you something, buddy. I said this from the get-go. The element of surprise in this show and what you can do with the one power is that you can cloak yourself, change your appearance. You can have dark friends. I mean, the Forsaken, once we get there, we've said this, everything's marked, full spoiler here. We are talking about people who can change their appearance and stuff like that. Like the Forsaken hide among dark friends. So like sometimes the dark friends don't know who they're dealing with. They know they're dealing with a great dark friend who might also be a Forsaken. We saw all of that in book three, book four, especially the Shadow Rising. So my thought is when she named Egwene, I thought, holy smokes, this right. is someone bigger and better. And the fact that did that to us shows you the power. The reaction they're going to get from fans on that is like, oh, we can do this anytime. At any point in time, we can step a dark friend on the screen. Our first Lanfear might not be our first Lanfear. Like that girl could have been Lanfear, and we would have exactly. been like, that's such a surprise, because she goes around as several different dark friends. She has multiple different appearances. She shows up in the White Tower. She shows up in the Aiel Waste. She's all over the place, right? So
well, and it was for me, it was also that she tried to kiss Rand.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, we know like that's part of her deal, is that
it was good. You know,
Lanfear mm-hmm. wants sort of Lanfear obviously wants Lucerne. Now they didn't say Lucerne's. I kind of thought they were gonna.
They didn't say what?
I thought they were going to say the name Lucerne there when she was talking sure. about like
the dragon
and the dragon and all of this stuff and talking about 3,000 years ago and stuff like that. We have heard the name Ardor Hawkwing, which is interesting.
Oh my God. That was an interesting connection to the swearing of the oaths. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So now let's shift back and let's, so the other kind of storyline that's going on is Nynaeve healing Moraine, right? Mm-hmm. She's like mm-hmm. looking for the stuff. We're jumping right into the sort of what will ultimately become romance between Nynaeve and Lan, which I was sort of critical of on my first time reading through Wheel of Time, because I was like, hold on a second, wait, what? Where did that? Because I felt like it came out of like literally nowhere, and I do feel like this is an area where the show can kind of improve on that.
Right, but right now, I guess if you were watching this and no one knew, I think when you ask some of these people, like Lady Heather was in here with her talking about her husband, and we had some other folks saying that their spouses were very much shocked. I think if they I think if you're getting those folks, again, that's why we say full spoilers, because I think some folks don't see it. I think right now there's a little bit of tension. If you know it, you can spot it, but if you don't know that there's going to be a blossoming relationship there, right now she was like, she tried to kill Lan. He was like, you tried to kill me. Right. I mean, you know,
I mean, come on now.
Did she? Right. You know, I know. Right. Yeah, I mean, I know. But like that's what it said. And if you don't really know and you don't really understand warders and what all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, she tracked him. Her attitude, too, is so great. Right. I told you could ask, not that I would answer you. You right. know, she's like, I ain't putting up with this. She's a wisdom. That's her thing.
Yeah. So we're what, 3 of 8? So I don't know what the math is on that. That's like, I don't know, 2 of 8 would be a quarter, or so quarter. Like 30% or something like that.
More than that.
Yeah, I don't know, 40%, something like that, all the way through.
Sure.
Feel good about it, which real I think good. is the best thing to say.
Real good. And I love, man, I couldn't, when I was watching it, people can see my reaction on here. I'll post some of that just so you guys, it's whatever.
37%.
37%. I thought for sure just the way that the cinematography is 100% just so beautiful. Great. It's beautiful.
It's a big time show. Yeah. I mean that's the best thing to say. I mean it's right there with Mandalorian, mm-hmm. The Witcher.
Yeah. You know.
It's hard, and I think it's unfair by all of the outlets and everything to compare. I think it's incredibly unfair and almost impossible to compare any show to Game of Thrones. And I know that this will sort of meet that comparison because Game of Thrones budget and everything was just on such a different level. I mean, that show won Emmy after Emmy after Emmy after Emmy, even season 8, which, you know, people had issues with, won tons of Emmys because this, it's just the budget and everything was so massive and so whatever, you know, everything. It's you cannot compare the two. They're different things.
Yeah, no, 100%. And honestly, this has, I like that this is trying to be, that not even that it's trying, it just said.
It is its own thing.
Yeah, I know that it is, but I don't think they went out and said, oh, we've got to be, I think they said, what is Wheel of Time? I think by adapting Robert Jordan's story, you're adapting something that's already different. He already set himself apart. He was already a fan of Tolkien. He wanted something more real that felt like a futuristic slash past time, a turning of the age. An age either ahead of us, behind us, whatever it may be, different. And we're getting that. We're feeling it. I'm feeling the multicultural stuff. I'm feeling how the world was broken. Groups of people were shifted around and mixed in together. And people are just trying to make it through here. It's rich. You can feel the history too. One of the things that Robert Jordan does in his world building, it's almost overwhelming sometimes, but he repeats himself enough that you understand who the Aiel are, the different nations. The Ardor Hawkwing, the Trolloc Wars have been mentioned, Manetherin, the connection to Shadow Logoth, all these things they're doing, and it feels like this is a big, epic world, and that's what we wanted it to feel like. When Moraine, one more point, in the first episode too, when Moraine, anytime I've seen her doing the weaving, it's not overpowerful. Like, she needs protected by a warder so she can summon everything. She's not all powerful, and I really thought that was the way to get. It's good. It's good.
Right. And let me say this too, because this, I think, was the biggest sort of concern and the biggest question we had going into this whole thing was the biggest task you face in adapting the Wheel of Time is the pace, because it's 13, 14 books, right? If you include New Spring, or is it 14 and 15, whatever.
Yeah.
14. How are you going to do it? Because it's so massive.
Right.
It is so massive. You know you're going to have to cut things. That's just the way it is. I feel like the pace is actually slower than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Like, some things feel kind of fast, but they did it in such a great way. You have to, like, I think by already introducing that these people have powers and you're trying to, and the question is, who is the dragon reborn?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that is in the book too, but even by raising it to like Egwene and Nynaeve, perhaps even, and you show that, hey, they're all special. They're all capable of things. Like, Perrin's story to me feels way further along. And I said this in episode 2, and I think maybe even episode 1. Matt seems like his is developing and stuff like that. And I know we're only 3 episodes in, but I feel like you're by them focusing so much on the who is the dragon reborn, you're able to speed up vastly the process of them sort of leveling up and powering up and acquiring abilities and all of these things.
Right.
That you actually save a ton of time. You can cut so much. I can tell you this, we're not going to have a season full of freaking circus chapters, okay? No. Not going to happen. we might get like half an episode of that, which is more than enough. So I feel very good about the pace, and I do feel like, theoretically, you could finish this in 8 seasons.
Yeah, for sure. I do too.
What they've potentially said is their goal, hope.
Yeah, and again, season 3, the cool thing, I mean, season 2 has been filming a lot. Some people have even finished their filming of that. They're on to season 3, like, that's been confirmed. This is good. And I can see why. You look at this, whoever was looking at this and saying, let's see what we've got and look at the testing, look at the reviews. Buddy, I'll tell you right now, this is one of those things where let the fans come out and talk about this. I think they're going to be very, very pleased. We've got people in our chat already saying things like, look, this third episode is pretty much original, but it's tying things together and it's trying to move things forward. And it's still kind of, it fits. All the characters feel like they come right out of the books. you know?
Where we're at right now, we're probably already 20 or so, I don't know, 25, maybe even 30 chapters into, we're like maybe 35 chapters in to Eye of the World.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Because chapter 10 is like they leave. Like around chapter 10 is like a Trolloc's attack and they leave and the whole deal.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And so again, like, let me think here. And we know we're skipping, like, we got this whole thing. We're bringing Loghain probably to Tar Valon and Moraine is meeting up with other Aes Sedai. Everything still feels really like where it should be, right? I mean, it still feels like where it should be.
Yeah, we're going to skip Camelon, which is fine. I think we just move everything to Tar Valon, and that's fine. Yeah, I guess, man, what do you think happens? Is there a teaser out for episode 4?
Oh, I don't know.
Was there a next time perhaps? I'll look for that really quick.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I hope we're going to get like a little sneak peek or something like that. We do know that after this, what we're going to do is we're going to go back and probably watch all of the histories, maybe 1 through 3, and do like a little drop. I think they're little mini episodes. Someone was mentioning that those are going to be up and we'll talk about some of that, which is a cool thing. Matt, this is how big they're going in this. The promotion for this is sick. The ads are sick. It's well done. There's a history and a lore component that's animated. There's also like a map, this map experience that we have going. So it is. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Let me think here real quick. I'm just trying to think about this. The Dark Friend is the biggest surprise for me, and how well she was done. I kind of had a feeling she might be a Dark Friend. And I said this during mid-watch. I was like, something's not right. And especially she's trying to seduce Rand and all this kind of stuff. But man, just when she name drops the Shamael and drops some of these other things, Camelon, the Stone of Tyr and all this kind of stuff, I can't wait till we start hearing some of the prophecies. I hope we still hear some of the prophecies of the dragon and some of that maybe from Tom. Tom Marilyn also drops some things in as well that are pretty cool. He's helping to build that world. You have to remember, they don't go see it all right away. It's just told to us and we hear about it. Here are these different regions and things at war. So that will be interesting to see all that.
Wow. Okay. So episode 4, by the way, this is really cool. Actually, I'm just looking at this. Dave Hill is the guy who wrote it. And I was like, oh, I know that name because he did a handful of episodes of Game of Thrones. He did he did the 4th episode of season 5, which is Sons of the Harpy. It's where they change some things in Game of Thrones. It's where Barriss and Selmy dies.
Jeez.
He did episode 2, which is the episode Home, and that is where Jon Snow is resurrected. He did episode 7, Eastwatch. That's where they have to go, right, to steal the the white. And then episode 8, Winterfell. That's the episode 1 of Game of Thrones. So those are like big huge episodes. So he wrote episode 4, which is The Dragon Reborn, comes out next week, Thanksgiving. Wow. Well, if I believe everything is coming out at the same, it's going to be Thursday night, not for us, not just sort of Friday midnight time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is cool. So that'll be fun. The Dragon Reborn, huh? And again, we just got that drop here with Loghain that we've captured a man who's proclaiming himself to be the Dragon Reborn, and that was that warfare that we heard in the Two Rivers. Still haven't seen Pot on Fane. Don't know where he's at.
No,
we haven't seen him yet. So like that's interesting that we're wondering where he's at, how he's going to be incorporated with all the dreaming and the dream sequences and the chasing. Like even when they get to Tar Valon, like in Camelon, is he going to be there? That might be a thing.
Yeah, there was a I'm trying to remember where it was. Yesterday I found something that had the titles of the episodes, like a description. There was like a description for it, but I can't seem to find it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So, dude, I mean, I'm so impressed. I think some people were saying in our chat here, I'm just looking at comments, like they were worried about the changes being kind of maybe being unhappy with some of the major changes and stuff. Are you unhappy with any of the changes that have been made, really, though? As far as like, right?
No, I think they're good. I'm not gonna lie. I think they're great. To be entirely honest, I think I like more. Again, I like that they're moving Tom around. I think that makes more sense to introduce him as a character. I think the Perrin thing is by far, I think, the best addition to the show. That's going to do wonders for him later on, just in terms of being able to move his character forward. And then I think for television audiences, and it creates an ability to build wonder and surprise and speed these characters sort of powering up along, the idea that it could even be Egwene and Nynaeve that are the Dragon Reborn.
Yeah. 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 Which is cool. I love the numbering. We've gone back and forth with the 4 and the 5, 4 Tavirin. Like, is Nynaeve going to be thrown in? Like, who's
she is right now.
Right. So they didn't actually say which of the 4. Like, is it Egwene who's Tavirin? You know what I mean? She just said Tavirin.
I think Moraine said it's one of you 4.
Oh, to them directly? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
But remember, she did ask Nynaeve how, when she was born. Remember, she's like, so you're 25 then, right? When she was talking to her by the pool.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. She kind of tried to eliminate her from the mix of the age, right? And who it could be. She's narrowing it down by age because of that. Was cool, the foretelling, right? And someone with white eyes and the foretelling and seeing things. That was really cool that they made that connection back to New Spring. So we really haven't seen anything like going back to New Spring necessarily. We've just heard references of, I think when we get to the Ammerlin Seat, we might hear more about their relationship and things, but we've just heard about the foretelling a little bit and the search for the dragon. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah, we know the titles of the episodes, but there was something we found yesterday where it had the descriptions even of what they were, and I cannot for the life of me find that link, so I apologize for that. Because I don't know how accurate that was, but it said like episode 7, it was like description, it's like Moraine fights one of the most powerful female channelers, and we're like, wait, what?
Yeah, what? Yeah, like,
so I don't know if that's like a leak or I don't know what the deal is on that, but
right.
So
right.
I was trying to see what episode 4 was to be like, okay, well, it's so episode 6 is Flame of Tar Valon, so maybe we all meet up in episode 6, and then we know we're going so episode 7, The Dark Along the Ways, and then episode 8. I don't know, man. Is that episode 8? If we're, what do we do? It sounds like we might finish the Eye of the World in episode 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the Aes Sedai might be more behind some of this stuff too.
Right, because everyone said, all of the rumors and leaks and everything said that we're going to be into the Great Hunt. Well, finishing the Eye of the World in episode 8 isn't into the Great Hunt. We would almost have to, maybe The Dark Along the Ways is we do that, and then episode 8 is, again, we were thinking maybe the Horn of Valyr and all that stuff gets stolen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's how you move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. So far, that's weird, right? So far, I think 1 through 3, we're feeling good. It's paced out. It's where we think it should be. But I think going now to Tar Valon, huge shift, bringing in the Ogier, bringing in Waygate. What does Moraine do? Does she differ in her opinion with other Aes Sedai? They think they've found, you know, again, a man who can channel. They're going to, like, Moraine's going to see firsthand again what the Red Aja will do to this man. And if she believes she has the dragon in her grasp, what is she going to do? Again, back to Rand's question, what do we do when we get to Tar Valon? What happens? Can I leave if I want to? That sort of thing. So I think it's the next couple episodes where we could go in a lot of different directions. They could, this whole Sawan thing. I mean, we could learn about some turmoil. I don't know how far, how fast they're going to push it, but it's crazy. Can I mention a couple things before I forget them? Because I got
100%.
We're just rushing in here. I wanted to mention the part where he's cutting the wood. What a clean cut. What a clean cut. I'm wearing my lumberjack flannel, and I'm like, I don't know if that's that was like a dragon reborn cut right there.
That was definitely a good looking cut. And, you know, I was almost laughing, like, just in my head, when Moraine tells Egwene, you know, you don't listen to the wind listens to you. And I'm like, the universe, you know, I was like the universe listens to Randall Thor. Okay. It's like he doesn't need the wind, like the universe itself. Yeah. You know, bends to Randall Thor as well.
You know, and what's really cool, we haven't, it's interesting about this whole, you know, Moraine being able to sense the power in individuals. And Nynaeve and her haven't really, I thought she was going to channel a little bit with the healing. She doesn't. I remembered we saw in the trailer, We see Moraine get healed by a green Aja member. Matt, what was really funny to me too, I know it's just, so like Egwene and Lan, like a little bit of tension, she gets tied up. She's tied up and like, does, it's just kind of funny. And Lan just had like, it's not like a, he's just looking at her sort of like, you done?
Yeah. You know? A disappointed, no shirtless, sweaty rant. All I know is Rosamund Pike said there's going to be a bunch of nudity, and there hasn't really been any. So,
well, I'm thinking it's going to be a lot with Loghain. I think we're going to see a brutal side. I think the White Cloaks, Matt, what they're going to do here, what I think a good show, good, I don't know, if you want to really pull people one way or the other, is justify the White Cloaks a little bit and justify them through the Red Aja and their treatment of Loghain and other, even though the White Cloaks are not pro male channelers, they're not pro anyone using the power to do any of that kind of stuff. But I think it'll be interesting for Tom Marilyn if they go with his whole back, his nephew being gentled and all those things. It will be interesting to see how they treat him. And if they don't do some stuff that's humiliating or whatever, that they could really push some lines there. Yeah.
We do see Lan's butt. You do see that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a boss, by the way. He is an absolute.
Hold on a second.
What?
Dana flat out says, what did she say?
Oh, about Matt and Rand?
About Matt and Rand. No, what was the exact wording? Slap and tickle. She said that.
She did. She did. And I was like, huh?
And I think we should change the name of the podcast.
Right.
No longer Heroes of the Horn, Slap and Tickle, a Wheel of Time podcast.
Yes. Yes. Let the slap and the tickle ride again on the winds of time. And while we're at it, get a number 7, you know, at the wine spring in, you know, like, my God. You would have thought the Tuatha on are rolling out with Taco Bell. I thought the same thing. I was like, that looks like a freaking, it's Taco Supreme.
The wheel weaves as the wheel wills, you know, slap and tickle wills as it will, man.
Right. Right. Oh my God. That was good. Just some really cool stuff, in this episode. That was
Heroes of the Slap and Tickle. I was like, what? I was like, did you just say that? Like,
it's also funny too, because Rand
just caught it. Like, it was like so caught off guard. Yeah.
Rand's really cool about it though. He's like, if I wanted a man, that's not the man I could get better.
That was great.
Funny
that
dig on his friend, you know? So yeah, it's cool. And it's neat too. Perrin says something really cool to Egwene. Like right now, Matt is sick. Matt is sick a little bit, and we know he's distorted in his thought, because I think Matt would say the same thing Perrin says to Egwene, which is like, okay, Rand is going to go to Tar Valon. Egwene is like, I don't know, right? And she's like, he's going to probably go home. And it's like Perrin who says, no, he's going to go where you're going to go, and you're going there. He knows that. That was a cool line, because Rand does love her. And their love actually grows into like, your role and your destiny is this way. Mine is this way. I still love you, but we have to play our roles. I have to go do my thing. And I'm always going to have that mutual love. You know this in the books. They trust one another. He only trusts Egwene, really. Sometimes he needs Egwene.
Right. Yeah, I do really like the relationship building there between Perrin and Egwene. Also, The Tinkers, the Tuathuan, are exactly sort of how I imagine them. They did a great job at showing them. And Aram, I think he was, think he was good.
I think it was too. There's the, they have like these big Saint Bernard, or what are the big dogs?
Yeah.
The Tinkers. I love those dogs. I was like, that was really cool. What'd you think of, so Tom Maryland, just a little bit more on him. He showed, do you think he's going to face a fade? She summoned a fade.
Yes. I'm pretty sure we actually see him fight one in the second.
Oh, that's right.
In the second trailer. And I love the relation, like immediately, like, oh, Tom Maryland and Matt shaking hands, because literally those two like hang out for the remainder of the series.
Yeah.
I'm in on this guy playing Tom. He works. It's great.
Good voice.
Tom in the books is actually a bit older. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he works. He sang that song. It was cool. To my mind, I know like the Gleeman's supposed to have this coat that changes colors and everything. Mm-hmm. But what I imagine a Gleeman being, he fits even without the coat that changes colors. We don't necessarily need that. But I think it's great. Another great casting. He has the knife that came out. It was great. All 100% in, thought he was, I think he's this. I mean, I don't know. They're all cast extremely well. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's bad or anything, but for me, like the one that it's like, I can look at and that sort of just automatically fits my thought of what that person would look like. Number one is Lan.
Right.
Lan 100% fits it. And even though he isn't like, we thought he'd be like more jacked. Like, and that's how he's kind of described. Like in the books, he's almost like a bodybuilder. I mean, he's like, you know, like a huge, like gladiator, I think like Conan the Barbarian. But it just works, and it's so good, and it just fits. And then Tom Maryland's like right there too. Just immediately just what I kind of envision him being.
Yeah, he totally does. At the end, the skill with the dagger, the knowledge he has about the Aiel, the fact that Matt kind of vouches for him too, and he's won Matt over. They're both stealing and pickpocketing a little bit and things like that. So definitely works big time. So really impressed by Tom Maryland. Real impressed.
It's great. It's huge. It's
good.
I love it, man. I'm in.
I know.
I need more.
I know. I've got like, I have nothing really, nothing negative, man. Like sometimes we've watched other things and other fandoms that we love. We've been like, okay, this, I think hit a home run. I think they actually hit a home run with this. And I'm
even The Witcher, and I read the books, and I love the show, but like The Witcher, you know, it like jumps around all over the place. Like the timeline's kind of hard to follow in season one. Mm-hmm. So love it. Don't get me wrong, but this, I can tell already that this is a show I will watch more than once.
I am going to go back. Yeah, 100%, man. Just some of these shots where like, okay, there's moments, you mentioned The Witcher, where it's like, with a donation for your Gleeman, right? So they said that in here, a donation for your Gleeman. Lan goes up and has a Legolas moment. Like there was a couple of different fantasy moments where like Lan looks out and he's like Legolas, you know, surveying the land. There's just a couple. There's another one I can't think of right now. So if anyone else caught any other fantasy or subtle little nods that they did to other series or things like that, they're in there because this author again was a fan of those things and was very respective of all of it. So,
and even now looking forward at characters that we know they will interact with. So like just in my mind, plugging in like somebody like Elaine, right? Mm-hmm. Who obviously in the show, she will be different, but I feel like book Elaine immediately, though, I could pull out my vision of how she would be on the show and even how she is in the book and plug her in with a obviously different acting, because it's a show adaptation version of Egwene and Nynaeve, and it still works.
Mm-hmm. With Egwene and Nynaeve. Yeah, yes, for sure.
And I actually think that that's going to make, we know we're going to see Min season one, but I even feel like Elaine's romantic involvement that will come with Rand and Aviendas,
mm-hmm.
because his relationship is much further along with Egwene than it really is in the books.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that will be that much even more sort of dynamic and cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Buddy, I'm doing a click through here and I want to ask you, I want to actually ask some of the women out there who watch this to send us a message, a comment, or you can send us a pigeon at thehornofvalir@gmail.com. Have you noticed, like, with a lot of the women in the series, there's tons of earrings, there's nose rings,
yes,
there's tons of
lots. Yes.
They're doing some really cool stuff. The costume is more than just what they wear. Like, they're some markings on their skin, different things that they're doing. I'm like, it's really attention to detail.
They've built a world. They've built a world, and it all feels cohesive.
Right. It's another layer that's real subtle that I'm just like, dude, this is gonna, I hope people who are reviewing this and who are real good critics, like, are because if people like us can catch some of these things that like we haven't even caught at all. This is our initial kind of just watched it, literally come on here live and give you
and
guys
the,
our
and
scoop.
The locations they're filming and everything. Oh, it feels unique. It doesn't feel like Lord of the Rings. It doesn't feel like Game of Thrones. It feels like Wheel of Time.
Hey, what did you think about, so when Egwene and Perrin are running out on that open, do you see how open that was? And like, remember when they're going and they meet Elias, it felt like it was just this flat, open kind of like thing. They get to like an abandoned setting. You still felt like they got into the trees. I remember the trees being described, this grove kind of thing. That's what it felt like, that. And then the wolves are guiding and pushing them in that direction too. It's just good. It's just flat out good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm loving everything I see so far. And I feel like, man, next episode is going to be low gain heavy. So my guess for next episode, and we'll do a full predictions, sure, right, tomorrow. But I would sort of say my predictions right now for episode 4, I think this might be where we see Loghain do his like breakout, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Which we were almost thinking maybe that stuff happened before. It was like a prequel thing, right? Didn't end up happening. So I think this is when we'll see that, and my guess is maybe this is where Tom Marilyn fights that Fade that we saw in the trailer. But I'm going to guess we start to get, I would not be surprised if we don't get some of Tom Marilyn's story that we get in The Great Hunt, where he's talking about his nephew who could channel and what happened to him, to still kind of build up a little bit of this, like the Aes Sedai are not really as good as we think they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Storyline. I think that's something that'll happen in the next episode.
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll be lulled into trusting them. There's going to be some back and forth, some issues with trust. You know, again, we've already said, full spoilers here, Black Aja situation, breaking of the White Tower, all those things to come. So, yeah, we've got to get in there. Now, Egwene is sort of our lead into the White Tower. Trust them. They learn from Moraine. They start to trust Moraine. Lan is even trusting Nynaeve and saying, I can leave my Aes Sedai with this woman. She is, you know, he has good instincts on her. But right now, I love that she still is embracing this. I don't know you guys quite yet, and I'm after my people, and I want to make sure that they're okay, because I wasn't there when all these conversations took place. I'm just running them down, which is awesome.
So what do you think that they're going to do? What, like, given where we're at now, and knowing that in the first place, as we have to shorten it all, to get to a memory, assuming 8 seasons, right, which I think is potentially the plan, to finish A Memory of Light in 8 seasons, given where we're at now, with already being 3 in, what do you have to bring forward of potentially The Great Hunt, or even further out in the next like few episodes?
Yeah,
because things are gonna start getting pulled. Like, wait, like, I feel like this whole Perrin thing, as we've said, is a way to cut out a lot of the Shadow Rising with him losing his family members and really questioning the axe or the hammer.
Right. He goes through a whole arc there for a while. Someone else who goes through a whole so Rand and Inktar and Hurin and all of them, that whole hunt sequence, as much as I love that book, it just really has 2 big epic moments, and you just need to show those 2 moments and move on. You don't need all the tracking down through portal stones and all the craziness, all of the hunting. I guess you need to introduce Varen, and you know,
I think all of that is going to be the season two finale. I think season two's finale is you take the Great Hunt and the Dragon Reborn and have it happen at the same time.
So you have it happen in tier, maybe,
right? Yes, because the battle takes place, right? And the battle takes place, exactly. Merge Falma and Tyr. So the difference, right, is in Falma, Rand is fighting. That's when he's sort of like fighting in the sky, right? And he's like, he doesn't really know what's going on. It's kind of just happening.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Tyr is when he gets Kalendor, and he's using Kalendor, and that's where he fights Balzamon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Does he get his wound at the end of the second book or the third?
Yeah. Second book. Yep.
Second book. Mm-hmm. And the third book
thinks
is
he kills him.
He beats Balzamon essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. In the third one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have that happen at the same time. And then on the outside, you have Matt blow the horn of Valyr, and you just have it all happen. And I have it all happen in one place. And then what you can do is you can take a lot of book three, which is Rand really by himself, and book two, which is Rand and everybody hunting of the horn. And you just blend all of that together. And then season two could tie together books two and three. And you could even, if you wanted, have Perrin off doing stuff that he's doing in the Shadow Rising at that time, and have it all take place at the same time.
Yeah,
That's pushing his story forward, because he's not even in the fifth book, you can save that and then start to blend other stuff together. So I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. And there's so much that can be done just putting all those pieces together. Move the Forsaken together. Bring maybe you battle more than one. Maybe it's just the Balzamon situation. Maybe Moraine does something else with Dark Hounds, or who knows, or Baal or whoever. But there's a lot of things that you can condense, and we can see how they're also just changing stuff too if they need to. If you really need to do something to drive the plot move a character forward, like they're doing with Perrin, they will do it. So
yeah, I mean, I think when you summon the Horn of Valyr, you could have somebody like a Birgit Silverbow, just now she's back. You don't have to go through the whole dream world and all that stuff to bring her out and do that. They're already showing you dreams are very important and very serious.
Well,
I love the way they're doing that, right? That is the way they're doing that now to build suspense.
Right.
And one of the things we talked about, as I'm now 100% convinced, is going to happen in the way I have been predicting it for months,
mm-hmm.
which is, we've talked about one of the coolest parts of the entire Wheel of Time is the prologue. The Luce Theron, Eliana, my love, mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. of that mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
We've said, do you open with that? Do you open with that sort of prologue? And I said, I think you just do it as a dream. Like Rand has a dream, and it's like, why am I having dreams of this other person?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going to be done as a dream.
Yeah. There's power in dreams. Moraine has said it, that she's alluding to different things that go on. And yeah, again, with Balzamon, there is sort of, you know, the first three books are written, it's like, well, that's who we fight. Oh, like for three books, do we really need to beat him three different times?
I'll go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Balzamon, do you want me to say it?
Go ahead and say it.
Okay. Balzamon's a punk ass bitch. Okay.
Wow.
I mean, he keeps showing up. It's like, what is he even? He feels more menacing in the show than he does in the books. And that's great.
Yeah, that is. And that's the thing. So there is someone called a fatigue in terms of him. So like, as you're saying, push it all to one spot. Let's do it. Let's have at it. Let's get after it and just have one big battle where it's done and over. Moraine has her part to play with Forsaken. You know what I mean? Like that's end of season. Just go out, whether it be season one, two or three, whatever you're going to do, and really go after some of these guys. So
yeah, because They've already shown us, they've already shown the white cloaks to be more menacing. Because again, the fact that they've shown them and are like in episode two are that menacing and that crazy. I mean, they're literally chopping off the hands of the Aes Sedai and then burning them at the stake as they watch like and are happy. The white cloaks story is being brought way forward.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you. I just thought of something here in terms of like, yes, it is. You're 100%.
So
right.
So just real quick.
Yeah.
So a character who we just found out in the books, our podcast, we just finished book five. One of our characters, Galad, right? Joins the White Cloaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to be a big deal because we know Elaine's coming, which means Galad and Gawain are probably coming too.
Right. And again, when you read about their tenets and you read about what they are supposed to be, Matt, what they're supposed to be, and that's why Jeff from Bornhold, good that he says that one little line to Moraine about find some healing, find a sister who can, we avoid them at all costs, but that's the only person who can heal you. And he's talking to a lady of the land thinking she needs healed. So that's where Galad would go. Like that's the type right. of person he wants to be, is like a Jeff from Bornhold. So, yeah.
So, I mean, I think you could almost have a season finale be a showdown with the White Cloaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, between who? You mean like the Aes Sedai and stuff?
Or, I don't know, they might go in a totally different direction. They might make them have like a full-on battle or something.
Right, so remember...
If the White Cloaks are literally out here burning Aes Sedai at the stake,
yeah,
something's going to be different, yeah.
Right, and I like how they kind of mentioned the Ardor Hawkwing thing about like they forced the Aes Sedai to swear these oaths and stuff like that. So it seems really binding and they're limited in power. But I wonder if we're going to bring in the Seanchan at some point too, and we're going to have like the White Cloaks sure fight them and stuff. So many things, so many different ways we can go. I'm so far very, very impressed. And you know, they've had these conversations. This is the thing. When you have the source material and you can adapt it, you can go through and take a marker, take a pen, cut this, move this, move this that here. Around. And they're doing a good job of that. I really think so. So far so good.
And one of the things you end up having that's cool, this is one of the things we did see in Game of Thrones, is you blend storylines. Like you take something from somebody else and give it to a different character. Now Game of Thrones did that with a lot of main characters, and so sometimes that felt, I think even that show that did feel a little odd, not only as like, oh, we're hardcore book readers. There were some times where I actually felt like it was even odd for that, the show version of that character. But Wheel of Time has already kind of taken like this Dana dark friend. We just killed our first dark friend.
Mm-hmm.
You just bring in sort of an original TV character and give them a lot of aspects of other people. And then you can like kind of kill them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of serves a huge purpose.
Yeah, it does. It does. That was a good way to do it. And we'll probably see more of that. We'll probably see a lot more of it. Yeah.
Right here. Hey, here's a good comment here from Darkhound Slobber saying, felt like they were making a hard line between the regular White Cloaks and the Questioners. Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Yeah, that's actually something in the books. It's a thin little kind of subplot that if you read it closely, there is a divide. There's something going on there. There's a resentment between your regulars and your Questioners. Good call. Right.
Cause the White Cloaks, we just finished book five, and it's like the White Cloaks feel like they just come and go a lot. And then it's like, sometimes they show up and they're real important, and sometimes they're just there.
Right. Sometimes they're like a nuisance who like they, you bump into, like Ram bumps into them, you know, in different towns or cities. And it's like, are they going to cause problems or are they not? Is he going to be a dark friend? Yeah. Who are they hauling out of a tavern? Yeah.
Right. They feel like a fly, an annoying fly you need to swat, not, you know. I mean, this is the one scene we've seen with them, they feel like a legitimate threat.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And in the same stroke though, Jeff from Bornhold, as we had her earlier, a comment, just feel that character feels good, and that we need to push that. You got to build that up so that way you can't be all one or nothing. Like the Aes Sedai, you got to have a faction of them, right, that are the Red Aja. Got to have that, and then even a split. I mean, it's just the black,
which Aja. Seems, which looks like what we're going to get next episode is a, hey, okay, the Ajas are a little different.
Yeah, we're going to see behind the curtain and see how they interact with one another. And Moraine needs one of them to heal her. And it will. Reds aren't known for their healing abilities. So we'll have a green sister. Who is that that's going to heal her? She's actually someone who I think dies in A New Spring. She's the head of the Green Agent. I can't think of her name right now. So if you guys post it in the comments, I'll say it. But anyways, yeah, going to be a really cool moment there for next episode.
Insane. Awesome. Woo. All right, guys. Well, I think that might be it for us for tonight. Yeah. Now, Ez and I have a ton of editing to do to get out all of these episodes to the podcasts and all of that. Now, Nagashi is her last name. Yes. Kareen Sadat. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we'll get that, get all these out posted to the podcast. Thank you for hanging out with us here on YouTube, guys. Again, we'll be doing something tomorrow because Ez and I both took the day off. So we'll be doing something tomorrow. Then we'll do that Zoom hangout on Saturday. So, certainly stay tuned for that. Thank you guys so much for hanging out here. Those of you guys listening, on the podcast. And again, keep in mind, Ez and I have those Patreons out there. If you want to join us, go check out our Patreon, Heroes of the Horn, on Patreon, and Apple Premium Podcast gets you access to all of our exclusive content, which is all of these extended editions we've done a ton of them. And if you subscribe there, you actually get exclusive content for all of our shows: Game of Thrones, Bend the Knee, which is a Game of Thrones show; Hyperspace Hangout, which is a Star Wars show; and our brand new podcast, which is The Elder Wand, which is a Harry Potter podcast. And that is an absolute ton of fun. So as always, thank you guys so much for listening and hanging out, and remember that the grave is no bar to our call.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.